Well, God is working in His church. He's stirring up hearts and lives and waking up His people. You know, in order for us to wake up, we first have to be humbled. When we're prideful, we don't sense a need for Him. God can't work in really with us and until we're first in a position where we know we need Him. We need His help. And America has been very proud. So the Lord knows what He's doing. Everything that's been happening as of late is in the program of God ultimately. The enemy may attempt a few things here and there, but how many know that God has got the devil on a short leash? He's just not going to do whatever He wants when He wants. He will attempt that, but the Lord sits in heaven and He laughs at that. You don't have this. And not until the Lord says, it's your time. Amen? So what we're supposed to do right now is we're supposed to partner with God in His purpose, His plan, believe, amen, for salvation to come to this nation, for healing and deliverance to come to this nation. Amen? God is the only one that can drain the swamp. Amen? And we're at the Red Sea now. We're praying and believing for a miracle this coming week. I want to invite all of you to come out and let's partner and let's get, amen, before God. And we're going to pray every night at 6:30. We're going to be here. We're just going to, there's no agenda except God's agenda. And we're going to pray and fast. If you want to fast, fast. But we're going to get together for a week and we're going to storm heaven. And we're standing in the gap. God's looking for someone who will stand in the gap on behalf of the land. And He's calling His church right now in this hour to rise up. You know that God uses people, doesn't He, to accomplish His purposes in the earth realm. Yeah, God is sovereign, but He chooses to partner with man. So how many want to partner with God? Amen. Let's do that, okay? Starting tomorrow night at 6:30, we're just gonna get together and let God be in charge of things, okay? I find that always works better when He's leading, okay? Now, we got to go, what was it, Friday night? We went down to Pathway and had a great prayer praise gathering. And there was a couple words that were brought forth, prophetic words, but also some good teaching. I'll never eat an apple the same way again. It was a good illustration of how the seed, you know, and how it produces. Not just an equal to itself, but it's supposed to flourish, all right? And I think he was saying something like, for each seed, you get one apple tree, but with one apple tree, you can get anywhere from 80 to 150 apples a year. And the average lifespan of an apple tree is 40 years. Some a little less, some a little more. So our lives are like that. They're to be planted. Amen. God has dispatched you and I to be salt and to be light, to be His ambassadors representing Him in this world, all right? And so whatever God has invested in you is not just for you, amen, it's for you to take and to share, amen? And we are to reproduce, amen? That's called bearing fruit. So we can't bear fruit unless we abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, amen? He supplies the grace, the ability for us to do what He's called us to do. And we can't do anything apart from Him. Well, we may be able to build church buildings and play church without God. Amen. But you can't do anything of any eternal significance apart from Him. So God wants us to partner with Him and listen to His voice, do what He's saying, and not to be in fear. We're going to probably be facing some very interesting days ahead. It's already begun to happen. I think these next 2 weeks are going to be a hold on to your hat kind of moment here, you know, but you know, that's why we need to right now, if any time we need to partner with God, stay close, call on Him, amen, and expect a divine visitation, amen, that God's going to move. He's going to intervene. He's going to step in and no man will be able to take the credit for it. They'll have to say this had to be God. And I believe God is doing the work of humbling right now. A lot of people are getting into fear, but you know, there's a godly fear and then there's a fear of the world, amen? That the world, we don't want to go with that worldly fear, amen? But we do want to honor and respect and reverence the Lord. Amen. And get into agreement with what he wants. Hallelujah. All right. So I want to talk about something that I have talked about, but not in quite some time. And the title of the message is Calling on the Name of the Lord. Calling on the Name of the Lord. Calling on the Lord. And what is calling on the Lord? Is it prayer? Does it mean, is it prayer? Yes, but not just prayer. Maybe not in a general sense, because it actually means to cry out to God, to cry aloud to God. There are times when we need to whisper a prayer. And there are other times when we need to open up our mouth and proclaim like a trumpet, okay, what God is saying, what God is doing. We need to get into agreement with what God is doing, and we need to be very careful that we don't align ourselves with what the devil is saying and what he's doing right now. What he's trying to do is sow hopelessness right now. He's trying to sow fear and unbelief. He's trying to talk God's people out of standing in the gap right now. Because he knows that if he has a few Joshua and Calebs who aren't going with the majority of the reports, but they're hearing from God and they're going to agree with God and stand with God in this time right now and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as in heaven, so here. We need heaven to come down in our nation. Amen. And hell is stirred up right now. I want to tell you, hell is afraid right now. And those who are aligning themselves with hell are going to be in fear. And they're going to be tormented in their hearts and minds. But God has given people an opportunity right now to be saved. To turn to him. If they will repent, they will find mercy with the Lord. If they do not, then they will come under the judgment of God. God has given you and I a time, an opportunity right now to get things in order, to get our house in order, amen, to get right with him. There's two Old Testament prophets I want to mention. One is Jeremiah and the other is Isaiah. And Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55, he said, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit, and you have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called to you. He says, you drew near on the day I called to you. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 through 6. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and what? For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that's where we get the word Yeshua. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. To them that believe on me, as the scripture says, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. The Lord is our salvation. Yeshua. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So how can God become our strength, our salvation, our song? How can we draw water from the wells, if you will, of Yeshua? Of how can we draw living water from the Lord? Come on, somebody. By calling on the name of the Lord. All right? Praising him. You're absolutely right. Singing to the Lord. All right? Crying out to him. There are times, guys, where you need to cry out to God. There are times when you need to pray and get a breakthrough in your life. Amen. Not just a drive-through prayer. I set my order in. Well, nothing's happened. What's the delay here? How about, you know, waiting on the Lord, and his timing is perfect. But in the meantime, Be persistent, Jesus said. Continually ask. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and what? The door will be opened unto you. Right now we're in a season where we need to be asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Don't let the devil talk you out of your confidence in your God to intervene and do miraculous things. He can part the Red Sea, amen? He can rain manna down from heaven. He can cause water to come from the rock. There is nothing that our God cannot do. Let me say it again. There is nothing that our God cannot do. It's time for us to rise up in a confident assurance in our faith is what's at stake here. The enemy is after your faith. He's trying to rob you of that so that you won't pray, so that you won't persevere, so that you won't keep going. Amen. He's wanting you to throw in the towel and say, oh, well, we tried. It's just too late. It's too far gone. No, that's a lie. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord?
No.
There's nothing too difficult. I want to look at Psalms 100. In verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise or shout unto the Lord. And that word is ruah. It means to shout for joy, to split the ears, to cry aloud. Make a joyful noise. Cry aloud. That means split the ears. Have you ever had your ears where something was so loud that it just pierced your ears? That's what he's saying. Make a joyful noise or shout or cry out to the Lord. And we are crying out to who? The one, the only one who can save, who can deliver, who can set free every captive. Amen. To the one who has already given us in Christ the victory over Satan, over sin, and over death. All people everywhere are to be calling on the name of the Lord. In verse 2 it says, to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That word gladness means with glee or joyfulness, mirth, rejoicing. Okay, we come before the Lord with the right attitude, amen, in worship. When we are rejoicing, it means that we are in confidence. When we are rejoicing, it means that we are trusting God, regardless of how things appear in the natural. No matter what we're hearing in our ear, amen, from all the noise and all the voices right now that are saying all kinds of things to get you all confused and all messed up in your thinking, amen, we need to hear God's signal coming through. We need to hear the voice of God. And God says, fear not, for I am with you. I have called you by my name, and you're mine. And when you walk through the waters, he says, I'm going to be with you. What does that mean? God says, if you have to go through the water, then we're going to go through the water. But no matter what, I will be with you. And so we need to have the attitude of joy and praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, somebody. And so we have to have a heart of gratitude once again, because gratitude and thanksgiving creates in us a true heart of praise. Praise brings his presence, in his presence his fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So what do we need to do? We need to come before him also with singing. And this means renana, triumphant singing. Or joyful singing. Does God want his people to be joyful?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Does he want you to be happy?
Yeah.
I've heard some preachers say, oh, God doesn't care about you being happy or not. He just wants you to be right. You know. Well, if you're right, you will be happy.
Yeah.
Amen. If things are good between you and your maker, you've got joy. Hallelujah. And so God wants his people, even contrary to the way things appear and the things you may hear, he wants you to do the opposite of that. When the devil tries to heap a bunch of depression on you, you break that thing off of you by doing the opposite. You overcome evil with good. Amen. Amen. And that's right. Because praise is what? It's toxic to the devil. That's why he's trying to silence God's people. Yeah, come on, somebody. We need to come before his presence with this triumphant singing, this joyful singing. He wants you to be happy. In verse 4, it says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Hallelujah. The word for gates is actually referring to the door of the temple, the Old Testament temple. Amen. We will enter his gates. These are the Psalms of Ascent as they would make their way up to the Temple Mount, singing and praising and using timbrels and harps. And it was a joyful procession as they made their way up towards the Temple Mount. Amen. And it says we will enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And the Message Bible says enter his gates with the password thank you. With the password, thank you. When you come before God, when you come before a king, you come with an offering. You come with something, with a gift. Come on, somebody. And we come to him with a spiritual offering of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. You've been good to me. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord delights in that because he knows that then we know that he is good. We're recognizing that. We're acknowledging him. Amen. And that he is very much a faithful creator. And he is faithful in, to you. Even when you're not faithful, do you know God remains faithful to you? Amen. And God knows how to get our attention. If we need to have a little time out, I think America's having a time out right now. But God loves us and God loves this nation and God has plans for this nation. I don't believe God is through with America. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain and the facade that he's projecting on the screen. We're going to say thank you, Lord, in all things. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we are to what? Give thanks. And then it says, that word thanksgiving, by the way, means adoration by an extension of the hand. Could also mean confession. So the Bible says, I would that men lift up what? Holy hands everywhere when they pray. Pray everywhere, lifting up what? Holy hands. Now the Jews understood that when they would come before their God, amen, they would lift up their cup. They raise their hands a certain way as in a place of receptivity. Okay. I'm opening myself up. I'm opening my heart. I'm opening my hands and say, Lord, fill my cup. Amen. David understood this. He was a worshiper and he would pray. Amen. And God would fill his cup. He said, anoint my head with oil, right? You'll anoint my head and my cup will what? Overflow. So I lift my cup, Lord, as the old hymn says, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. And so, guys, it is scriptural to raise hands. It is scriptural to shout unto God. It is scriptural to cry out to God. It's not always appropriate. If we're having a quiet time, and sometimes God is in the quiet times, amen, and just in the stillness where we're not doing anything, we're just being still and being open for the Lord to speak to us. But there are times when we are engaged in battle and you know it because all of a sudden you'll feel this depression and this oppression and the enemy's trying to mess with your head and you start to feel a lack of peace in your heart and things are beginning to trouble you. You just feel like you're being you're in the midst of a storm. The enemy sometimes will bring those storms upon us. So what do we need to do in that time? We need to cry out to God. We need to lift up our voice, the splitting of the ears at times, to break that thing. Hallelujah. Because we're declaring our praises, amen. And out of their mouth will come a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. As we align ourselves with what God is saying and speak that, it is effective in destroying and defeating the enemies of our soul. The devil is trying to take away your joy, your confidence, your peace, amen. He's trying to take away your faith. He's trying to take away your song. He wants to mute you and stick you in the corner. Amen. But God says, I want you to lift up your voice. Amen. And I want you to proclaim and speak out what I am saying. There are times you just need to speak to that mountain that stands in your way and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You have to speak to that mountain. Sometimes you just need to come and get mad at the devil and say, I'm tired, sick and tired of you messing with me, messing with my head. and just raise up your voice and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go. Get mad at the devil. Put your foot down and don't take no for an answer. Sometimes he's like a stubborn little spoiled brat. But you just stand your ground, you take and you resist, and you, amen, until he goes. You start praising God, singing, blessing the Lord. He says, man, we got to get out of here. This is toxic. This is a toxic environment, the devil says. Guys, this is real, isn't it? That word praised, it means tahila. We enter his courts with what? Praise. And that means laudation, like a hymn of praise. That's why we sing often before we even get started into the word or whatever else is going to happen. We kind of unites our hearts together. You see, that's what the Psalms of Ascent would do. It would bring the people together and a common song. It united their hearts. It's the first thing as we come and we gather in unity. How good and pleasant that is, right? And as we worship, as we sing, and we begin to praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness, amen, as we begin to exalt and proclaim, amen, the truths about our God, hallelujah, something happens. It produces faith in our hearts. You ever notice that? And when you're singing praises to God, all of a sudden your confidence level begins to rise up. Your confidence in God begins to rise up. That's why, guys, we're supposed to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Amen. We're supposed to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another as well. And is it interesting that the government doesn't want us to sing in church? But God says, come before his presence with singing. Who's the final authority here? You cannot allow the devil to talk you out, amen, of your praise. Satan is afraid of the praises of God's people. Why is that? Because it says God inhabits, Psalms 22:3, right? The praises of his people. So he dwells in an atmosphere of praise. You know what else the devil wants to do? I want you to hear this. The devil wants you to feel embarrassed about singing out loud for God. The devil wants you to feel embarrassed about talking about Jesus publicly. Has anybody beside myself felt that before? What will people think? You know what it means? When I'm in a place where I'm like worried about what people think, it means I'm lacking the presence of God in me. Amen? Because where he is, there is perfect love, and perfect love casts out all fear. I need more Jesus. Amen. That means that I need to be revived in my spirit. When you're on fire for God, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're bold as a lion. Amen. You're not ashamed to talk about Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you got something good and you know it, you want to share it with others. Hallelujah. And even if they reject it, you understand they're not rejecting you necessarily. They're rejecting the one who sent you. So we got to get over ourselves. When we're self-confident, we can't be a servant of the Lord. When we're making it about us, the opinions of people, what do they think about me? How many likes did I get on Facebook? Oh, my. I just lost a lot of likes when I talked about Jesus. And you know what? God's giving you a thumb up. God's saying, well done, my son, my daughter. Amen. You give God praise. Hallelujah. You exalt him. How you stand for him, amen, and he's standing up for you. More love, more joy, more peace, greater anointing. They've been faithful in little. I'll make them ruler of much. In the Old Testament, calling on the name of the Lord began in the third generation of the human race with Enosh. And Enosh was the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam. So he's the third generation. In Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And if you look up that Hebrew word, it means to call out to with an audible voice, as to greet someone. So if you're going to greet somebody in the marketplace, ever been in a store and you saw somebody you know in there, you're going to say, "Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe." Say, "Hey, Joe!" You call out. All right? That's kind of the sense you get here, is they begin to actually cry out to God, to call out to God. There's something about that, guys. Now, we know that God has perfect hearing. He knows your thoughts. You don't even have to say sometimes. He knows already what you're going to say before you say it. But there's something about opening your mouth and speaking out and crying out in agreement with God's heart. That is what we've been called to do. Basically, you and I are the launching pad, amen, for God's spiritual missiles. And that is the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. So when we align ourselves with what God is saying and we speak what He's saying, amen, it is effective and changing atmospheres around us, including the atmosphere of people's minds and hearts as they hear the Word of the Lord. You and I get to partner with God and be a part of this. And so this pattern, you can see it throughout Scripture. Abraham, Genesis 12:8, he called on the name of the Lord. Isaac, Moses, Job, Jabez, Samson, Samuel, David, Jonah, Elijah, Jeremiah, on and on. You see that they established an altar. And they did what? There they called on the name of the Lord. It was an audible crying out to God. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 4, he said, "I will call upon the Lord," David said, "who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Guys, you can't always be passive in a war. There's a time, amen, where we are in the rear echelon and we're just relaxing, having some lunch, amen. But in the midst of a battle, it's no time to just be passive and hope the thing's going to blow over, amen. It's either you or them. And so we need to take a stand and say, "I'm not going to tolerate the lies, the attacks of the enemy on my mind, on my family. I'm going to begin to cry out and call upon the name of the Lord. And I'm going to say, 'Jesus, come to my rescue, Lord. God, hear me. God, intervene in this situation.'" Cry out. Now we're going somewhere with this. Hold on to your hat. Because this is also in the New Testament. David tied his personal deliverance to calling on the Lord. There's a connection between your personal liberty, your deliverance from the oppression of your enemy, the devil, and crying out to the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And sometimes the Lord just wants us to be passive and just sit there and be a beating, you know, post for the devil. And He'll do anything He can to talk you out of praise and opening your mouth and speaking for God. He's going to try to make you feel embarrassed. But guys, if you're feeling embarrassed about this whole thing, then you need to repent. You need to repent. Because it means you're not right with God. I'm going to say it again. It means you're not right with God. If you're ashamed of Him, Jesus said it. "If you're ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of Him I will also be ashamed when He returns with His Father and the holy angels. But if anyone confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father." Come on, somebody. And you're not going to be an effective witness to confess him before men without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why He's given us His Spirit. Amen. And He's given us this thing called praise. And God inhabits praise. Amen. Get your praise on. Amen. Until that oppression leaves you. Until that fear gets off of you. Amen. That fear of man is broken in your life. And the only one that you're going to fear is the Lord. In a healthy way. That means reverential fear. Like when the boss walks into the room. All of a sudden, you're one of the most diligent workers out there. You know, when the cat was away, the mice were playing, right? But when the cat returns, uh-oh. How many know that we can't go anywhere without the Lord? He's there. He knows it all. He sees it all. There are no secrets. You may be able to hide it from men, but you can't hide it from God. So you might as well just say, God, I'm coming into the light. I'm getting it all out on the altar. I'm going to be honest about myself, my failures, my weaknesses. I can acknowledge that I can't do it, God. I just can't live this Christian life. Hallelujah. It's impossible for me to live this Christian life. So God says, great, you're in the position now where I can use you. Because now you're going to trust me for the grace you need to live the Christian life. Because you can't live it without me. Amen? And so you have to be broken. You have to be humbled to be brought into position so God can now use you. He can't use proud people. He's not going to pour out his oil upon a stubborn individual, upon a self-centered individual. He doesn't pour his oil out upon a narcissist. And the devil is a narcissist. And when we're full of ourselves, it means we're full of somebody. But it ain't God. Because you and I are natural man. Okay, you can't improve upon that thing. Amen? You have to die. He has to die. Amen. So the new man in Christ will live. Hallelujah. You can't pacify. You can't, as Jesus said, put a new patch on an old garment. It doesn't work. You have to get over yourself. Come to the end of yourself. And guys, what's happening is God is bringing people right now to the end of themselves. All the artificial security blankets, all the things that we trusted in. Oh no, what's going to happen next? I'll tell you what's going to happen is people are going to get humbled. They're broken. They're going to cry out to God. And in their hunger, God's going to answer. And when there's a hunger, all right, there's a drawing of God's glory. And when enough of us are getting hungry and calling on the Lord and crying out to God, the glory of God is going to come down in this nation. Hallelujah. And we're going to see a great awakening. That's what I see happening. God has been speaking to America, and America has not been listening. Oh, we listen a little, but only to the degree that we want to listen. And so God speaks a little louder. And a little louder. Come on. And now we're like, what just happened? He's speaking even louder. Are we awake yet? I hope we're awake now. God help. And that's when God moves. Because now he had to humble Israel in the wilderness and bring them into a position to where he could use them. They would be user friendly. And God is doing that with you and I. He's doing that in America. So guys, look at this as a great time, actually. God is the one doing the reset. God is doing it. He's doing a timeout right now. I was just telling people a while back how it's like in America, it was like even in the church and what we were doing, it's like I'm on this train, we're barreling down the track, but where are we going and where is this going to end? It's just like we're in this routine of doing this thing. And I'm saying, God, something's got to change here. And all of a sudden, it's like God hits the reset button. And yet the enemy, who is nothing more than a pawn that God can use, he thinks he's got it. He thinks he's got doing all. He's got it. I tell you again, guys, he's on a leash. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Not just some, all authority. And are you on the Lord's side? If we're on the Lord's side, we're in good company. We're on the winning team. No matter what happens in the days ahead, keep your eyes on the winner. Amen. On your Commander-in-Chief, Jesus, he's going to help you through. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. As you rely upon him, he's going to give you the strength to sustain you. He's going to give you the grace that will guard your heart and your mind so that you're not going to go insane. Guys, I'm trying to help you here with something today, is we need to learn how to cry out to God. We need to start opening our mouth and praising God. Come on. So you're going to get that devil out of your head, out of your business, out of your family, out of your life. Amen. That's good preaching. I think I'll get the tape. There's no such thing as tapes anymore, is there? Get it on cassette. Remember the prophet Joel, chapter 2. He said in the latter days that others would call upon the name of the Lord. You know, There is a connection, guys, to calling on the name of the Lord and being filled with the presence of the Lord. And we know we need to be filled with the presence of the Lord every day. Because the Lord is the only one that's going to keep you in peace. See, we've been too idolatrous in this nation. I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen if all of a sudden the Xbox doesn't work? Oh, my word. We're going to have a meltdown. Just hope it does, right? God's doing a reset, guys. The devil thinks he's doing it, but God is actually on the throne. And God's not through with us. I'm convinced of that. Somebody say amen. You know, we're really living in the time of that fulfillment when God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And whosoever upon the Lord will call, those who will call on the name of the Lord. Remember Stephen? In the time of his stoning, when they were killing him. In Acts 7:59, it says, they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Saul of Tarsus, later the great Paul the Apostle. Remember, he was given permission to jail all who would call on the name of the Lord. You see, the early Christians were referred to as Jesus callers. Do we have any Jesus callers in the house here?
Amen.
We call on the name of Jesus, amen?
Amen?
And he had permission to jail them. And yet, God says he's perfect for the job. I'm going to take a terrorist, I'm going to fill him with my spirit, and I'm going to raise him up, and I'm going to turn things around, amen? Hallelujah. That's how God does it, guys. There's hope in the Lord, amen? Sometimes we give up on ourselves. Sometimes we give up on our loved ones. But how many know that God is able? Don't ever quit. Because remember Galatians 6:9 says, if we continue to sow in the Holy Spirit, it says, do not become what? Weary in well-doing. Keep on doing what God's told you to do. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on sowing the seed. Keep on teaching your children. Amen. Show them the right way in which they should go, right? And know that that which you invest in them, the word that you invest in them, in due season, amen, it will produce fruit. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. That's God's promise. Stand on the promise. Stand on what God says. Not, oh my word, I know people when I was a long-haired pot-smoking hippie back in the day, you know, people were like, he's like... He's going to end up in a ditch dead somewhere, or who knows, you know, behind bars. But God intervened. Hallelujah. But I had a praying mom. I had somebody who stood in the gap. But I know there was times when she says, I'm just done. I'm just done. However, God did not forsake those prayers. Amen. God was receiving that. Amen. And God knew how to move things and rearrange things in my life to get me to a place of desperation where all I could do was look up. And that's when God saved me and raised me back up. Amen. And He called me to be a preacher. Can you imagine that? The guy that never wanted to go to church. Now he's preaching in church. That's how God does it. So Saul of Tarsus, God got a hold of him. Amen. Became one of the greatest apostles, as you know. But they were called Jesus callers. And this is what Paul later wrote in Romans 10, verses 12. He said, the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls what? Upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He was talking about people who were Jesus callers. How many know God wants us to pray without ceasing, to be calling on him often, all right? Amen. Now, Paul later told his son in the Lord Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, pursue spiritual things with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Very important. We're repentant. We're honest with God. All right? We confess and renounce sin. And we get in right standing with God. Amen. God forgives. He doesn't hold it against you anymore. And now you can do what? You can call on the Lord with confidence. Not based upon your performance, but based upon God's mercy. Because his blood has availed for me. I have confidence in the blood of Jesus today. Amen. That my sins are forgiven and that I'm covered. Hallelujah. And if I make a mistake, I can call upon my Father. Thank God we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a defense attorney, amen, who stands in the gap for us. Call upon his name. Because he wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to bring reconciliation. He wants to bring restoration. That's God's heart. His heart, I say it again, is redemptive. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He doesn't want this nation to perish. He doesn't want the people of this nation to perish. Regardless of what the majority, 99% of what you're hearing on the mainstream is lies these days. It's been taken over by the enemy. Amen. We need to be able to hear what God is saying. Come on, we need to again tap into the signal of heaven and say, Lord, what are you saying? That's the word that I'm going to repeat. That's what I'm going to believe. Amen. Because what you believe is what you're going to receive. And you want to start receiving all the fear of the enemy, then start listening to him. Keep on listening to that garbage. Because what happens is when the enemy gets us into fear, then we become impulsive. And we start making mistakes. And we start doing things that we ordinarily wouldn't do. When you get into fear, then the devil knows and he can start controlling people. And getting them to do what he wants them to do. That's why he's using the bullying, the verbal bullying today. Against anybody that does not agree with the narrative of the Marxists. Because the source of that is Satan. Satan is an oppressor. Satan is a thief. He came to rob, didn't he? He came to kill the abortion industry. And he came to what? To steal. To rob, to kill, and destroy, right? Something like that. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, the Lord himself, now I want you to see this, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications is like an earnest entreaty. It's not just general prayers, guys. It's like a gut prayer. With loud cries and tears. Loud cries and tears. To him who was able to save him from death. And was heard because of his godly fear or his deep reverence. Our Lord Jesus poured his soul out, did he not? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Even while he was on the earth, the Lord would get away. Amen. To the mountain often. And he would call upon his Father. And guys, I want you to hear something. Our Lord himself had passionate prayer. There's something about it. What's the purpose on calling on the name of the Lord? Number one, you ready for this? To be rescued from sin. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People need to open up themselves. You have to open yourself in order to call on the Lord. Remember again, Isaiah said, the way that you draw living water is by calling on the name of the Lord. And you know what, guys? Many people have never really called upon the Lord. There's a time to be silent, but there's a time to open your mouth. God has given you spiritual weapons, has he not? He's given you his word. People cannot even be saved until they first hear, according to Romans 10, they first hear the word of the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. So someone has to align with God and speak the word of God. Speak what God is saying. Not just what we think they should hear, but what God is saying. It has life. Amen. It is life-giving. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. They're life. They're life-giving. Yes, they're truth. But it's the life of God that's released. When we speak what God speaks, it's redemptive. Hallelujah. for those who are receptive, for those who are open to receive, they will receive the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, another reason why we need to call on the name of the Lord, and sometimes even shout out the name of the Lord, is to be released from ourselves, to get over ourselves. Guys, I know what it's like, and it's almost a place of torment to be in a place where you feel like you don't have a voice, where you can't share what you feel in your heart. How many know we got a lot of people today trying to be speech police and to tell you what you can and can't say? But how many know that it was God, our Creator, who gave us this right, this freedom, amen, to express ourselves the same way He does, and that is through words. So the enemy wants to keep you and I from speaking what God is speaking. Because when we speak what God speaks, there's power to save, power to heal, power to cause demons to flee in Jesus' name. In Psalms 18 and 6, we're rescued from distress and trouble when we call on the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, "In my distress or my trouble and anguish, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears." Psalms 50, verse 15. The Lord says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." We call on the name of the Lord to be rescued also from our sorrow and from our pain. In Psalms 116, verse 3, "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." In verse 4, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul." And the easiest way, again, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to draw the water of life is to call upon the name of Jesus. We drink of His life this way. Psalms 145, 18, "The Lord is near all who call upon Him." Remember, we must call out upon Him out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, "Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Who is able to purify our heart? He's the only one. You can't make yourself clean. No matter how holy you try to live your life, you can't make yourself clean. You need the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. Amen. You need to call out to the Lord and ask Him for His mercy. Plead His grace in your life. Amen. And the Lord is merciful and just, and He's willing to forgive you if you call on Him, if you humble yourself and be honest with God and quit trying to pretend. Calling on the Lord, once again, is an open, audible crying out to Him. Because by calling on the Lord, we stir ourselves up. How many know there's a time that you need to stir yourself up? Yeah. And God knows how to stir us up too, you know. You ever, when you were a kid, maybe went to a mud puddle with a stick? And it didn't look all that bad, maybe on the surface, until you got that stick in there, you start digging around, and all this muck and mire starts coming up, right? You know, guys, that's what God has to do. Sometimes He has to get the stick in there, stir it up, and give you a good view of how ugly sin is. Amen? So that you will want to be free of that and be cleansed of that. Amen? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You first come to an awareness, the godly sorrow that comes upon you, that you knew that you have really sinned against God. Not only that are you in trouble, but that you've grieved God's heart, and that you want to be free from that, and God knows how to work. Amen? If we would turn to Him, the only one who can make the bitter sweet, the only one who can make you pure, we turn to Jesus. And we trust in His grace. Come on, somebody. It's not about what I can do, it's what God does. And when he does something good in you, you give him thanks. And how do you love God back? By giving him thanks, by giving him praise, by offering yourself back to him as a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, how can I love you back the rest of my life? That's what worship is. It's loving God back. Does he deserve our praise? Does he deserve our thanks? Does he deserve our service? Let's do it. Commit yourself to the Lord. Amen? Set your hand to the plow. You put your hand to the plow. Jesus said, don't look back, right? You're not fit if you look back. Set your hand to the plow and say, we're going forward from here. We're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to make myself available for God to use any way he wants. I don't care if it's mopping floors, cleaning toilets. When I started out in this thing, one of my senior pastors had me busy cleaning. I think sometimes we do an injustice sometimes when we take somebody too quickly and we put them in positions of authority. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn how to serve. Amen. Jesus came to serve, not to be served, right? That's another subject for another day. But sometimes, guys, God has to take us through, all right, the processes, and he does, to get us into a position where we're finally humbled and willing to yield to him and trust him and lean on him for the power to accomplish his will. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. And we're going to draw from the wells of Yeshua. Guys, you've been up here, Joel, you've been up here before, you know, and I know you're a quiet guy, you know, and I have a tendency to be quiet. You ask my family, you know, but when the anointing comes on me, I become noisy. So, but, you know, sometimes God just wants you to open up and begin to let that shout out, begin that, let that praise out, that hallelujah come forth. Amen. And all of a sudden it's like, you're not seeing yourself anymore. You're not focused on you anymore. Amen. Your world becomes filled with Jesus. His glory, his presence fills you, fills the atmosphere of your heart and your mind. And you're not fearful and shy, and you're not intimidated by man. Not to say you are, but there's times when we are. So you need to learn how to get your ugly praise on, like Larry Seymour said. All right. That means don't care what anybody thinks. All right. You give God your best praise. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:6. Are you ready? Therefore, I remind you to stir up or rekindle the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Mm-hmm. Because there's salvation, there's healing, there's deliverance. Amen. All in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we need, guys, to be Jesus callers, calling upon the Lord audibly. All right. And sometimes loudly. All right. We want to get our best praise on. Amen. And, you know, the enemy, he starts to tremble when people of God start to rise up. And take authority that God has already given them. They recognize it. But we're not going to allow the devil to mess with our minds anymore. You need to take a stand and say, I'm tired of listening to all these lies that I'm nobody. I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything for God. I'm such a failure. That's all lies. What we believe is what we receive. So we're going to believe that God says you're a son and you're forgiven. And that I accept you. You are mine, says the Lord. Believe me. Hallelujah. Lord, bring back your wayward sons and daughters. Draw them back, Lord. Draw them back to the body. Draw them back to life. Draw them back to purpose. Lord, raise up an army. God, we pray that you would breathe upon us new life. Come from the four winds. Oh, Lord, breath of God, breathe upon your people in America. Wake up your church in America. send an awakening to this nation. God of gods, we look to you. Our hope, our confidence is in you. We know that you're able, and we know that you're willing. And God, we are willing to partner with you in this that you are going to do in the days to come. Hallelujah, because you will have a bride. You will have a church that is holy. You're going to have a ready people, and you're going to have a people that are on fire for you and that are serving you and proclaiming the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we clap our hands, all you people, and you shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm going to count to three, guys, and I want you to join with me. And I want you to shout the name of Jesus three times, okay? I'm going to count to three, and we're going to shout the name of Jesus three times. And Father, I pray right now as we call upon the name of the Lord, that, Lord, you're going to break every shackle and every chain, every addiction, Lord, is going to be shattered right now. Every tormenting spirit is going to go. All manner of sickness and disease is going to leave the body right now as we call upon the name that is above every name. And God, we believe all things are possible to them that believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God, we're believing for a turnaround. We're believing for a great awakening. Hallelujah, Lord. Do that work. Revive us today, God, in Jesus' name. Are you ready? I want you to shout as loud as you can the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm believing right now that these chains are going to break. You're going to hear them break. Here we go. One, two, three. Jesus! 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 Woo! Woo! Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God bless you and keep you.